All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 70 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are back after our spring break, and we are ready to resume the story of what I sometimes like to call the growth and decline of the Union. So you have two ideas there that we wouldn't really necessarily expect to go together, but it's an interesting combination. So when you hear this idea, what are you expecting? First of all, you are expecting growth. So if I say to you the growth of the Union, what are you expecting that we are going to be talking about in the next lecture? Couple lectures, few lectures. What is our subject going? What are you expecting to see as the Union grows? Abby?
I'm expecting to see it getting bigger and better.
Okay, but when you say it, what do you mean it? What is this union? A union of what?
A union of the United States of America?
Yes, okay. A union of, what is the United States composed of? What are the building blocks?
People of individual rights.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's true, and that's very profound. But the United, what's right there in the name?
United people.
All right, I keep asking you a leading question, but you won't go where I want to lead you. States, right? The United States. It was formed as 13 states, and then they united and became a country with a capital U. Right? And we have seen it grow. It grew first in terms of more and more areas that were not states yet were being added to the Union. So what are the areas that are part of the country which are not states? What's the name for that? Got to get everybody's brain back on full functioning mode here. Nemo, go ahead.
Territory.
A territory. Okay, so we got territories and we got states. So we're going to expect to see more territories, but territories are not an end in themselves, right? The reason to take a territory is to turn it into a state eventually. Yeah, so we're going to see a growth in the number of states. Because we know that, right? It started with 13, and we don't even need to be history experts to know what's going to happen. What's going to happen? Over time, right? It started with 13. Hint, hint. How many are there now? Patrick?
22.
Oh my gosh, no, you're thinking about the time in history. I'm talking about right now, the present day.
50.
There you go. Right, the question was a little confusing. Okay, so we know it's going to grow from 13 to 50. Okay, so that's what we're going to expect. That's pretty straightforward. The growth part of our story is pretty easy. But notice what goes along with it. What is the second part of this expression, and what do you suppose it means? So let's get everybody thinking about this here. What is decline? Somebody tell me, what is decline? All right, let's get everybody. Oh, Rosetta's going to try. Go ahead, Rosetta.
Growth is like expand, and decline is the 13 colonies get smaller and smaller?
No, that's a good guess, and I'm glad you made that guess, because the idea of decline is related to, if we were thinking of size, we would think of perhaps contraction or shrinking, right? We have growth, and on the other hand, there's shrinking, on the other hand, or growth and contraction. All right, so that's just size-wise. But notice that the word decline does not have to do with size. So I'm glad you brought that up, Rosetta, because there's a good, important difference there. Decline means what? But in what context would you say something is declining? How about as it gets really late in the day, what do you find starts declining for you? I don't know what your bedtime is. 8, 9, 10. What starts to decline as you go further and further past your bedtime? All right, let's say, Sigourney, I told you to start running. Yeah, you know, at a light pace, like jogging. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay, and then you started jogging, and after 5 minutes, you'd probably be okay. But after 10 minutes, after 15, after 20, what would start to decline?
My energy.
There you go. Exactly. Your energy, and very well put, your speed as a result. Right. So decline means something's going down. Think of declining energy in how you feel, right? And especially if you're exercising or at the end of the day, your energy's going down. Okay. So what would it mean to say the union is declining? It's not shrinking. Because we know that it's not doing that, it's growing. So what does it mean to say it's declining? Like your energy at the end of the day. What's happening to union, Abby?
It's going down. Yeah, but less and less union.
Ah, okay, what does that mean, less and less union? It's getting bigger, isn't that better? Isn't bigger better?
Yeah, people aren't working together as much.
Oh.
United.
Oh, okay. So you aren't as united. So the country's bigger, but the people don't feel together as much. That's almost obvious, isn't it? In a sense, if we think about it, the further and further people are apart, the less likely they are to feel kind of together. But there's more to it than this. So let's go to our maps and look at, of course, what was the main thing that created a problem of union in America? I've been working on my maps and making them more and more precise and making sure little discrepancies are out of there. So this is 1789 here, right? So I'm going to push that over here for just a second and keep it over there. All right, so that's 1789. And what does this show us? Somebody please tell me, what does this map show us? The United States in 1789. Why did I choose that? Why would I choose that? Let's see, I'm having trouble positioning things. Okay, Wyatt, go ahead.
This shows the 13 colonies.
Okay, having become what?
Having become a separate country from Great Britain.
Yeah, not just, right? But also having accepted the Constitution, and now George Washington is the president, and they are a country with a capital U. Right? So there they are, the 13 colonies. Why are there these big hunks of land over here in lighter blue and lighter pink? Can you tell me that too, Wyatt?
They are territories.
Excellent. Okay. And now a question for somebody else. Why did Mr. Powell put blue and pink? Just because he likes nice colors? It's not random. Why are they blue and pink? What was the difference between the blue ones and the pink ones? Patrick, what's your guess?
My guess is that the blue territory doesn't have slavery, and it is against the territory that does want slavery. It's slavery versus not slavery.
Okay, you are exactly right. In the southern parts, we have states that have slavery and territories where slavery are allowed. In the north, we have territory where slavery is not allowed and states where slavery is not accepted. Okay, so that's the divide. And what does this now show us? Ooh, 1803. What just happened? Ooh, it's very, very exciting what just happened there. Okay, let's watch it again. 1789. Boom, 1803. What just happened? What's the biggest thing that just happened in 1803? Thanks to Thomas Jefferson. Jeremy?
Louisiana Purchase.
Okay, fantastic. A whole gigantic territory doubling the size of the United States. We have new states that have slavery and one that doesn't. Okay, so at this point, we're about balanced, as it turns out. All right, and then things keep happening. For instance, 1819... Oh, look at that. Within the territory that we have, we now have three new states that are free and three new states with slavery. We also have a new territory down here, Florida. Okay, and now we go to where we left off the other day. Get ready. 1819 becomes 1820. Ready? Ready for it?
Yeah.
Watching. Kaboom. Ooh. Okay, let's watch it again. There's the territory, Louisiana territory. Pay close attention. And then kaboom. All right, what just happened? What do we call this new red area here for starters, Abby?
Well, the red area, only what I was going to say.
Go ahead.
Was that now the North has a big territory, and I mean the South has a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And it has a new state, but the North has a big territory. But there's one problem with that, is if they have a big territory, they have one more piece. And mm-hmm. the South has two more pieces.
I see. All right. Well, yeah, the big territory is going to be divided up into multiple states. So that's a positive thing. But we have a name for this particular change in 1820, and it has to do with the name of this region. So we need to know it. You got to know your American geography for lots of reasons, and one of them is history. What's this, Patrick?
Well, I wanted to see.
No, I want somebody to tell me what this is. Come on, folks. Nemo.
Missouri.
Okay, and what's this bargain whereby Missouri joins the Union and Maine joins the Union? Who knows the name of the bargain? Where one of each was added and then this line was drawn. Wyatt, what was the bargain called?
The Missouri Compromise.
All right, thank you. The Missouri Compromise. This is where we left off, with this compromise. This was the last time the Founding Fathers tried to do something important to stop slavery. And their effort was to try to draw a line to keep slavery really low and add a lot of territory where slavery couldn't go. So they were trying to finally accomplish this goal of theirs, which was to put a barrier around slavery, stop it from expanding. They had already made it illegal to bring more slaves to the United States. So they were hoping that they could stop slavery from growing and eventually that slavery would decline. That gradually it would disappear because this was a country of individual rights and people wouldn't want to continue to do that over time. All right, well, for those of us who know that the Civil War is coming, we know it didn't work. So what we're going to see now is the continued growth of the country. We see all this white stuff over here. It does not belong to the United States. That's why it's in white. And so we still have a heck of a lot of stuff that needs to join up and be a part of what we think of as the United States. That's going to be the growth part. But as it grows, along with that comes more arguments. More arguments between the people up here who want an America of a certain kind and the people down here who want an America of a different kind. And at a certain point, this feeling of union that they have is going down and down and down and down because it's not just whether or not they want to have America at all. Yeah, they all want America. They all don't want to be Europeans. They all don't want to be Spanish. These are Englishmen mostly, and they want to have this country, but they don't agree on what it is or how it should be. They don't agree on this big question of slavery. So now what we're going to see is some huge changes. Here comes, I'm going to make you see them fast. Okay, here comes one of them. Boom. Okay. And then boom. Oh, wow. Those are exciting changes. All right, let's go back here. Okay, here we are, 1820. And, of course, we have something that is going to get a fairly sizable chunk that's in white that's going to be added, along with some light-colored stuff becoming dark-colored stuff. Okay? Tell me what the most important change is from 1820 to 1845. Most important change. Patrick?
There's a new state for slavery, Texas.
All right. Texas is added to the Union. But notice how it was added. Everybody pay attention, because this is not the same as Michigan up here is being added. Because over here, Michigan is a territory. What is Texas? It got added to the Union, but from white to red. What the heck? How does that happen? How does something go from being white to red without being pink first? How can that be? Any guesses? Rosetta?
It probably was, they still had people in it?
No, that's not it. Because think about it now. Normally we gotta go from white to gray. Okay, let's look at this over here. Let's go look at this. Normally we go from white to gray. And Rosetta, what does white to gray signal?
It signals that it's owned basically by the it belongs to the United States.
Yes, but it's not a state, so
it's a territory.
Territory, good. Okay, so you gotta have gray to have a territory at least. So we look over here, Texas is white, and then it's red. So what does that tell us? Texas was never a... Walker?
Territory.
It was never a territory. It was something else, and then it became a state. That's unusual. So, let me tell you a little bit about what was going on there. As it turns out, well, first of all, notice the kind of strange lines we got here. Right? The lines over here are kind of squiggly and uncertain, and I didn't agonize over putting them exactly in a certain spot, but I did my best based on what we know. And then you can see, of course, that the lines changed quite a bit over here. This is very straight, and we're going to have some other lines over here, too. In fact, I'm going to show you another map. That's, I think, very useful here. I'm going to show you another map. See over here? This is kind of the line of the Louisiana Purchase. And over here, we have something quite unusual. What is this? It belongs to another country. Abby, what is it?
Mexico's... Giant.
Mexico is giant, absolutely. We have a country next to the United States, which is giant, right? So you can look at it on different maps here. This is kind of a neat one. This kind of looks at the United States today and imagines what if this is Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. They'd almost be the same size, you know, if Texas all the way to California had stayed inside of Mexico. We'd have kind of three just about equal sized countries. But that's not what happened. So we have this. This is my, which one did I pick? Oh, did I lose it already? I had a map that was my favorite way of showing this. Oh yeah, this one over here. So what we have over here is Mexico, and it included all of this until part of it broke away from Mexico, and that part was Texas. So what was going on was the Louisiana Purchase said all of this belongs to America, but nobody was quite sure what to do with this. It wasn't obvious because Spain did not agree with France and the U.S. over where the lines go over here. And so it was never really certain where the lines go. And so this area would belong to Spain. And then something strange happened around the time of the Monroe Doctrine. Mexico became independent from Spain. It became a separate country. And now all of this belonged to Mexico. So, but there were Americans that had gone here in the time of the Louisiana Purchase. Some of them, we were talking before class about a place named Austin. Well, that was named after a man named Moses Austin. I got to get my name straight. Moses Austin. And then there's a place in Texas also called Houston. And that's named after a settler of Texas named Sam Houston. And so a lot of the names around here are named after important settlers. They were Americans that decided that they wanted to go to Mexico and claim it, like this territory, or Texas, let's be clear, to go to Texas and claim it on behalf of America, because it wasn't certain what was going to happen. Okay, Patrick, go ahead.
What are these red and light pink lines?
Okay, Patrick's asking about this, the hatched areas. I'm about to get to that. I'm glad you noticed it, so just hold off on that for just a second. So for a while, Texas belonged to Mexico, but there were Americans living in it, hoping that, well, eventually all of this would get settled and it would go to America. Or perhaps Mexico would become a different kind of a country, so on. It was just wasn't really clear. But the problem for the Americans was, well, the people of Mexico, the leaders of Mexico, were from Spain. Let's stop for a second and compare that to the people of England. What do we know was different about them other than language? If we're thinking about Mexico and the people that were there, and they were from Spain, how were they different from the people from England? You know, why do we say there would be no United States of America without the successful English colonization of America? Why do we say that? It would have been just as good if the Spanish had colonized it, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be just as good?
Mm-mm.
Why not is the question. Why not? What did the Spanish not have that the English did have? Think of an anchor fact. Nemo?
Magna Carta.
Beautiful. Right. And the Magna Carta is a symbol of something. What would we say the Magna Carta is a symbol of? We could say a kind of government, or we can also say an idea. What would you say that is, Nemo?
Constitutional monarchy.
Okay. And that is, well, that's a building block of liberty, right? Because if you just have monarchy, then you don't have any freedom. But you have a constitutional monarchy, it means that you're able to fight the king and resist his power. Well, Spain did not have that. So the people in Spain and the ones that came to Mexico were used to monarchy. And, well, guess what kind of government they had in Mexico? Trick question a little bit. But what would be your best guess? Patrick?
Tyrant.
Oh, that's a very interesting word, a tyrant. And you are right, but a tyrant is just a special kind of... What? What's the word? Nemo?
Monarch.
Yeah, a monarch, right? A tyrant is a monarch who basically rules entirely without care for his subjects, and he's just in charge, and he gives orders, and he doesn't care about anybody, right? So that's a tyrant, a ruler who is vicious towards his own people. So yeah, Mexico basically had a monarchy, but it's a special kind, or at least the problem was that the Mexicans didn't know how to be free. They didn't have a tradition of freedom. And so they had a problem that a lot of people have when they're trying to be free. The military is very important, and generals in the military decide, hey, I'm going to be a monarch. And so the leaders of militaries in countries where people don't know how to be free, often the leaders of the military will say, hey, what the heck? I've got the control of the army. I may as well make myself the monarch. And Patrick said, well, that's a tyrant. Well, that's a good word. But people have another word for that also. It's a little bit of a big word, but I think we can handle it. So it's a military dictatorship, where the leader is somebody who's called a dictator. Has anybody heard of that before? I know it's another word. We have the word monarch. We have the word tyrant. And now we have the word dictator. Does anybody know why we have this word? Kind of a neat word. I mean, what's the word dictator all about?
Well, I remember when I was little, I used to dictate to my mom stuff I wanted her to write, and so the dictator will dictate to the citizens what they want them to do. They'll tell them what they want them to do.
That's so great, right? That's a great comparison. You used to dictate to your mom so she would write for you. Or maybe a good exercise when you're learning to write is the opposite, where mom dictates and you write so that you have to learn how to write. So yeah, either way, right? The dictator is the person who speaks, and the other person is the one who does what the one who's speaking says. So you can imagine what a dictator is in a country, right? He's the one who speaks, and everybody else does what he says. Well, of course, that's just another word for monarch. A dictator is just a monarch that's just getting started. He doesn't have a crown yet. He doesn't have any jewels. He doesn't have a really nice robe because he's too busy to have those things just yet. He's just got his military uniform. And over time, if he can do it, then he'll get some nice robes. But first of all, he's got to be a boss who tells everybody what to do and kind of organizes the country. So as the people, as Americans were going to Texas, there was a dictator in Mexico. His name was General Santa Anna. And so General Santa Anna did not want the Americans to basically have the kinds of liberties that they were used to inside of Mexico. So they rebelled against him. And we have a famous moment in the history of Texas that's captured in this quite chaotic painting. Does anybody know what this chaotic moment is? It's not a great painting, so we're definitely not going to look at it in History Through Art. But does anybody remember this place? Actually, over here is the really kind of important spot that's kind of famous. Like the outside of a structure, and you can see the Mexican flag there. What is this battle, this famous battle in Texas history, Nemo?
Alamo.
The Battle of the Alamo, right. Remember the Alamo, as they say. So, yeah, this battle was for Texas independence. As it turns out, the Texans lost this particular battle, but they went on to win their independence in a war against Mexico. So the reason why, let's go back to our map now. Texas goes from being this to being this, boom, right? Is that it was a part of Mexico. And then it was not a territory. This is a kind of peculiar fact that a lot of people don't know. It's just kind of what we call trivia. But before becoming a state, does anybody know what Texas was? It's kind of cool. Abby, you might know, yeah.
Was it a part of Mexico?
No, after being a part of Mexico, it was something else. Aha, what was it? It was a country all by itself. Texas was the Lone Star Republic. It was its own country. It was recognized by the United States and by Britain, not by Mexico, of course, but nonetheless, the world's most important countries were pretty much ready to say, okay, welcome to the scene, Texas. We'll have you as our neighbor. We'll have you as one of our fellow countries in the world. But because of ongoing problems with Mexico, the people of Texas decided, hey, we're better off going and being a part of the country of the United States. So in 1845, Texas joined the Union. And, well, the sad part about that is that slavery was allowed. And this is in the South, and we see that it's quite consistent that people in these areas are expecting to have slavery. And here's the good news, though. Here's the good news. Texas was the last state to join the Union with slavery. Texas was the last state to join the Union with slavery. So now, what's this? Boom! Ooh, what just happened? Everybody, pay attention. Pay attention! It's not hard to see. Ready? Ready? Boom! Okay, what just happened? And why is there a dark black line? Mr. Bell, you don't usually put dark black lines. Okay. Patrick, what just happened?
That became a territory, and of course, it's for the non-slave.
Well, wait a minute. It's gray, so we don't know about that yet.
Yeah.
Now, I put a dark black line here to emphasize something. That this is what? It's not one territory. Abby?
It is two territories.
Two territories, right, exactly. This one up here was called the Oregon Territory. And this down here was the Mexican Cession. Cession means giving up something. So in other words, Texas, well, that was already a republic. It joined the United States. This area over here, which we saw, let's go back to this map. It belonged to Mexico. And then, because the United States easily defeated Mexico in the war and conquered all this area, then Mexico was forced to give it up. So this is called the Mexican Cession. Everything here became a territory of the United States. But Patrick's question and Patrick's comment is very important to us, isn't it? Because this is where we have to end off. It's gray. So what does that mean? As opposed to blue or red? Rosetta? Sorry? Yeah, it's a territory, but we have territory over here that's light blue and light pink still. So what's up with these? What's a gray territory as opposed to a blue or a pink territory, Wyatt?
Well, nobody really knows what it's gonna be.
Good answer. It's not determined whether or not there's going to be slavery. So what was gonna happen next was gonna matter a lot, isn't it? Wasn't it? what was gonna happen was gonna be very important, what happened next. And what happened next, which is quite exciting, is that gold was discovered over here. What region am I pointing to, Patrick?
California.
Yes, indeed, said the California boy. So, yes, this region over here, gold was discovered, and lots of people, about 100,000 people said, gold? Oh my gosh, I gotta go get some. And so they ran over here, and before you know it, within a year only, this whole area was full of enough people that they said, hey, we're ready to be a state. And watch what happened. What happened? Last thing for today. Leading to a question, of course. Patrick?
California became a non-slave state plus a lot of gold.
Yes, right.
That doesn't really matter.
No, okay. The non-slave part, of course, is what matters. And it's in the far south, of course. And that was very significant. Because, well, if this was going to be free of slavery, what about all the rest of this again? There was going to be now a limit. Right? People who wanted slavery were, of course, worried, very worried about what was going to go on in here, and maybe in here, and over here. And so we're getting to a point in 1850, and we'll pick things up here tomorrow, where, as I said, Texas was the last one to join with slavery. Now, 1850, California joins without slavery. So what's going to happen here became the really important question. And unfortunately, things didn't go very well, so we will see. This is not one of the best parts of American history. We're at a point, I mean, the joining of California as a free state is great. That we can all be happy for. But what happened next was what I would call a bad compromise. So we've already seen one compromise, this one over here, right, with this line here. This one, I would think, in my view, this Missouri Compromise of 1820 was actually a pretty good compromise because of all this land without slavery. But what we're going to see in 1850 is a different compromise, and I think it was a bad one. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And we're getting closer and closer to the Civil War, sadly.
Wait a minute.
Okay, final questions or comments, Abby?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, Patrick?
I just wanted to say it is possible that a little bit of California could get into slavery's hands, but only the bottom.
No, I see. You're anticipating maybe people moving over here, but no, that was not allowed.
Like through a line.
Yes, I understand, but no, because once a state that was free of slavery, it was not allowed, period. It was a crime at that point. It was illegal. So no, you couldn't sneak it in. All right. So we'll get back to this now, this story of the expansion of the Union. It's growing. There's more and more states. But each time there's a new state, there's the old argument again. We don't want slavery. And some people say, yes, we do. And well, nobody is sorting this out. It's just getting pushed off. Every time a state joins, we just say, okay, fine, you get to decide. But that's not a solution, is it? So we're going to have to see, how are we finally going to get to a solution? Tomorrow we'll start to talk about it. All right, folks, welcome back. Great to be back, and we'll pick this up tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.